Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome to the Sunday night edition of Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Mr. Tim Dennis. How are you, Tim?
Doing good.
So tonight we kick off the Stanley event, man.
Yeah.
This is exciting stuff. I love doing the Stanley. These people are so great. We have such a fun time. We got Jay and Grant out here, Chris, Patrick. We've got author Jeff Bellinger. We've got Father Andrew Calder is in with us. We've got Michael and Marty Perry, the mediums. Lauren Coleman, the cryptozoologist. This is his first event with us. Going to just have a great time at it. We'll be reporting next week on our findings from this weekend's live event. It's going to be a blast. Thanks a lot for tuning in and spending your Sunday night with us here on Darkness Radio. We are your best in paranormal talk radio every weekend, 9 to midnight. Again, if you miss out on any of our shows, you can always check them out by going to our website. Click on Darkness Radio's little link, and it'll take you in for podcasting. You can also subscribe there so that you never miss an episode. They'll always let you know about it. Hey, got some exciting news here. If you are a fan of the book series Twilight or you're interested in the movie Twilight, the Twilight Tour is coming to Minneapolis. You've read the books. You can't wait for the movie. Well, do you want to meet the cast? Of course you do. Jacob, Victoria, and Laurent are coming to Minneapolis November 14th. Hot Topic at the Mall of America for a 3 to 5 p.m. signing and a Q&A. Again, that's going to take place at Hot Topic. And to get an autograph, you must have a wristband. Get your wristband while supplies last when you buy the special Twilight Tour t-shirt at Hot Topic at the Mall of America, beginning Friday the 14th in the morning. You can visit www.mallofamerica.com for more information or www.hottopic.com. Again, that's two T's, HOTTOPIC.com. Hottopic.com. Remember, purchase must be made in person at the Mall of America Hot Topic store on November 14th. Space is very limited. Entry to signing with the wristband only. You can purchase limited up to 2 wristbands per person. No cameras are allowed. 1 autograph per wristband is part of it. And that's right. You can come out and meet the 3 main characters from the new movie, Twilight. Jacob, who is Taylor Lautner. Victoria, who is Rochelle Lefevre. And Laurent, who is it Eddie or Edie Gathegi? I can't pronounce these names, Tim. These damn foreign names just mess with my head.
What? She's from America.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Probably. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the week. That time of the week? It's
yeah.
A special time of the
I
week.
I have my time of the week every
yes.
week. Yeah.
Every Sunday.
Nice.
We have our special visitor. Let's go. that makes it sound even worse.
That's terrible.
I think we need to figure out a way to re-scrape this. Anyway, let's go. It's time for book reviews.
It's time to welcome our book critic and cunning linguist of culture, refinement, and stories that will make your skin crawl. Live from the tower we keep her locked in, Susan Cumming.
Good evening, Susan. Thanks for being here with us.
Good evening.
So you've got a new book for us, huh?
I do. And I have to start off by saying I do not take pleasure in other people's misfortunes, but I really enjoyed this book.
Oh, no.
Oh, I know. I just don't want to sound like somebody who gets a giggle out of it, but I enjoyed the book so much. It's called Graves End, A True Ghost Story, and it's by Elaine, and hopefully I'm pronouncing her last name correctly, Mercado.
Yes, Elaine Mercado.
Yes, and the foreword is by our infamous Hans Holzer.
Very cool. So now, about other people's misfortune, what now? Okay, give us some background. What is this story about?
Okay, well, I don't know if it's so much misfortune as maybe it began as a negative experience for her. But back in 1982, Elaine and her family, she had two girls and she was married at the time, they found this fabulous deal in Brooklyn. They were looking for a home for their family. Prices were out of their reach, and they found this big, they talked about it as being looking like something their grandmother would live in, similar to our guest last week, and it was huge. Three stories with a full basement, or they thought a full basement at the time, and they got it for a steal. Well, because...
Isn't that always the way?
That should give it away. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
They were on the market for a long time, and for some reason, their realtors wouldn't even mention it. They were like, no, we'll find you something else. We'll find you something else. Finally, they said, you know, we want to go look at this place. And they went into it and said, you know, this could really help our family. So they bought it, didn't move in right away because there was the old creepy old couple that lived in the house that had lived there for 40 years. They weren't able to get into the basement because the creepy old couple wouldn't let them in the basement. Mm. And then when they were able to move in, of course, this is classic, things started to happen. But there are things that we've heard of, you know, the mention of an old hag or a haunting that consists of an old hag, a shadow basically holding you down, pinning you down. This happened to almost everybody in the family to where they felt like they were being suffocated. They couldn't breathe. They couldn't move. Scary stuff. I mean, that to me is scary. If you can't breathe and move, but you're conscious
right.
of what's going on around you. And, of course, light shows, orbs.
See, that happens to me every time I have to watch the Teletubbies with my kids. It numbs me to the point that I can't breathe or move. I just sit there.
Oh, I thought it used to be Barney, but now it's Teletubbies.
Oh,
that's
God,
good.
Yes.
Anyway, so it starts off a little bit slow and then it starts to get into the actual haunting. They stayed there for 13 years and actually she still lives in the house. She still lives in the house.
Wow.
And, finally, and I can't give too much away, but come to find out that the house actually had been moved. It had, been on a lot around the corner and down the way. And, you know, not to give away too much. The basement wasn't a full basement, and of course, you know, when you don't have a full basement, nobody wants to dig that far.
Exactly.
You've got to start questioning that. So that being said, I enjoyed it. It's a true ghost story, which I always love. It was well written and quite enjoyable.
Now, she's a nurse, isn't she?
She is a nurse and also a, I think she's a psychotherapist, a licensed psychotherapist.
Okay.
So,
yeah, interesting stuff.
No, hypnotherapist, clinical hypnotherapist.
Hypnotherapist, okay.
Yeah, so you know that she's pretty steady on her feet, you know? She's got a clinical background. She has
that. I don't know about that. My mom is a nurse, and she's far from being stable, Susan. You've met her.
Oh, Mom, I love Mom. No. But, yeah, very interesting. Crazy, of course, you know, comes out that there is a vortex in the house. Which, of course, if people don't know what that is, it's sort of a doorway to another dimension where spirits can come and go. So that sort of feeds to the haunting of the house.
Wow.
Oh, I mean, it's creepy. And then, of course, you know, the daughter moves downstairs because there's not enough room, so she moves into the basement that they redo. I mean, come on, let's think about it. Daughter moves into the basement. Woo!
Yeah.
What do you think happens?
Well, you know, sometimes as they get to be teenagers, you kind of, you know, put like with like, and that's where all the demonics belong in the basement.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, and her mom would come down, and she would be sitting in the middle of her bed with a rosary and wasn't even Catholic, stating the Lord's Prayer over and over again. Does that tell you something?
Yeah.
That's
a little frightening.
So,
this book is out by Llewellyn Press, I believe, correct?
Yes, it is.
And it is available at all major booksellers, so you guys can check it out. And Susan will have a written copy. I think we're a couple weeks behind on posting your book reviews, but we'll get those up and you can read those. And if you have books that you'd like to recommend for Susan to read, she's always looking for great stories, real or not, of the paranormal and strange and frightening. You can always shoot those over to her at darknessradio.com. Click on the book review section there. You'll see the lovely portrait of our Susan. And below it is a way to contact Susan, and you can reach out to her there as well.
Yeah, and I will get those to all the folks out there. I've been traveling, as you well know. I was in lovely Minnesota last weekend.
Yes.
So a little behind on my book reviews, but they're in the works. I promise to have them up with them next week.
Great. Thanks a lot, Susan. You have a good one, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Awesome. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. All right, guys, we're going to bring on national news correspondent Bree Sanders here in a second. I do want to make a quick mention. Join Tim and I. We're going to be out next weekend, November 14th, 15th, and 16th at the Radisson in Roseville, Minnesota for Crypticon. Crypticon is the third annual horror convention taking place right here in town. You get to see some of your favorite horror movie icons will be out there. There's a lot of fun characters, including John Cassier, the voice of the Crypt Keeper from Tales from the Crypt, Chris Sarandon, who is the vampire from the movie Fright Night, and also the voice of Jack Skellington from Nightmare Before Christmas, the lovely Kelly Maroney, who is in the classic movie Night of the Comet and Chopping Mall. She was also the perky cheerleader in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. She'll be there sitting really close to our table, Tim.
Ooh.
I had to slip a few bucks under the table to get her by us.
Wow.
Michael Berryman is going to be there.
Next to me?
Yes, he will. Good. He's been frightening in so many different movies. The original Hills Have Eyes, Devil's Rejects, just a ton of movies. So you're going to want to check that out. Now we're going to go to our lines, though. And again, real quick, if you want more information and you can join us, again, that's November 14th, 15th, and 16th at the Radisson in Roseville, Minnesota. Join us out there for Crypticon Minneapolis. CrypticonMinneapolis.com. We'll be out there. Tim, it's time for national news.
Okay. Now it's time for all the news that's in the news from the world of the paranormal with the supernatural stories of the strange, national news correspondent and mistress of misery, Bree Sanders.
Good evening, Bree. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing great. So you've been collecting all kinds of strange stories for us this week, huh? All right, well, go ahead and fire off. Let's get another story or two out before we take our break.
Okay. This was strange. There was a woman at a Blackhawks game.
Yeah, that is strange. A woman at a Blackhawks game.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm done.
When did that start?
This happened this week. And the story is she was watching the Blackhawks play, and her name is Marguerite Coleman. She collapsed and died. But the weird thing is, I'll let you know the whole story.
Well, the weird thing is it's usually the Blackhawks that choke,
they normally lay down and die, not the fans.
Well, her sisters, she was a huge fan. Her sisters and her, I guess, they went to the games all the time.
Right.
And I guess in 1986, her mother died at a Blackhawks game.
Wow.
It's a family tradition.
Might be time to avoid the Black. If things come in three, I'm not going to the Blackhawks games anymore.
I got a few words for them. Chicago Bears season tickets.
Yeah, exactly.
They probably want to switch up.
Good Lord. Well, that's what happens. You have women at hockey games. Next thing you know, we're going to have an African-American president, Tim.
Dave?
No.
We do have one.
Are you?
Yeah.
What?
Serious. Dude, where were you Tuesday?
I was, gorging myself on Krispy Kremes.
Oh, well, that's not a bad way to be.
Yeah, exactly. But I paid for it the next 2 days. So her mom died the same way. How many years beforehand?
1986, so 22 years ago, I guess.
No kidding. So her mom dies at a Blackhawks game. Was it heart attack, aneurysm?
Well, I don't
shock
know
that they actually scored.
I'm assuming it was something along those lines. I know that the woman that died this week, it was heart failure, so...
I know in both instances, Tony Esposito tried to revive both of them, but it's hard to give CPR through the goalie mask. So,
jeez. Oh,
no, I'm kidding.
Wow. You know, Chris Chelios shoots and scores and Jesus saves. Is that how it's played out? All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back with more of your stories right after this, Bree. You guys are listening to Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Sitting across from me, Tim Dennis. And we're out, as I mentioned, at the Stanley Hotel doing live investigations this week. Of course, Susan is here in Colorado with us, as is the lovely Bree, but we're going through the formalities of it the way it's supposed to be. Am I right, Mr. Dennis?
Going through the motion. No,
going
kidding.
Through the motion. Yes.
Kidding.
All right, where are we off to next in the United States, Bree, with our weird stories of the week?
We are off to Maine.
Okay, and where in Maine?
It's called Booth Bay Harbor. This week, on Tuesday afternoon, the harbor, I guess, just suddenly filled up with rushing water. It said in...
Good Lord, we've got water in our bay.
Time to go fishing.
In 15 minutes, the water actually rose to 12 feet, and then it receded. Then it happened all over again. And there was a dock worker that kind of described it. She said that she saw a giant wave coming, like a rogue wave, you know, in the distance. And then this happened, and... It was bad, I guess. Each time the waves would hit, you know, the docks would get ripped apart, and it was just crazy. People, I guess, were freaking out. They actually said people that witnessed it were wondering if it was the apocalypse. And it's rare. I guess the National Weather Service said that the ocean levels rapidly rose in three towns along the coast there in a matter of minutes, around 3 p.m. on Tuesday.
And that was Tuesday. I think that was just the ocean applauding Obama for winning.
Probably. Oh, yeah, that's true.
See, it was crashing on the shore in applause, thunderous applause from the heavens.
Well, they have no idea what caused them. But
it's Godzilla. How do they not know that? It happens every time in the movies. When Godzilla starts showing up, waves start crashing. People are stupid. How do they not know this by now? They call themselves scientists.
Totally.
Indeed.
Yeah. Well, they're saying that the waves could have been caused by a storm out at sea, obviously, or something like, they said the slumping of mountains of sediment at the bottom of the ocean. And that actually can cause kind of like a mini tsunami. And this hasn't happened in Maine. There haven't been rogue waves there since 1926. So, and it's so rare, there's not even a name for it. And a similar thing happened in Florida about 15 years ago that they still don't know what caused this. It says in that instance, a series of 12 to 15 foot waves hit Daytona Beach in 1992. And these waves were bad. They injured like 20 people and tossed cars around, and it's even happened in the Great Lakes before.
Tossed cars around? What the hell? Who's driving their car in the ocean? Those idiots deserve to be tossed around.
Anyway, so that's that.
I love when you dismiss me. Anyway. All right. Well, that's bizarre. All right. Where are we off to next?
I just wanted to throw these in. These are just two stories of just odd people because I think they're hilarious. But
okay. Well, as long as you're all about entertaining you, let's hear them.
Right. There's a couple in Deltona, Florida. They just popped in the news this week just because a reporter, I guess, had checked on them. They've been in the news before, but their names are Donna and Joel Brinkle, and they were a normal couple who raised a family, had good jobs, all that, the whole shebang. And then in the 1990s, they declared themselves a sovereign nation and stopped paying taxes.
Awesome.
The county took their home. And now, I guess, they're living off of handouts from their son and their church. But they've even filed property liens against the government officials, including Bill Clinton, who failed to recognize their independence. Once they tried to buy a $700,000 house with a homemade money order. And they also have made their own currency. And
excellent.
This week, the Orlando paper was just checking in on them, and I guess they're still thinking that the government is going to acknowledge their independence as their own nation.
You know, if they would have kept their TV, they could have watched the episode of Family Guy where they did that, and it didn't work for Peter and Lois so well either. I think Homer even had that happen, didn't he, on The Simpsons, Tim?
I believe so.
They became their own sovereign nation until he started using the neighbor's pool, and then they were able to arrest him.
Well, that was Peter Griffin, wasn't it?
All the things that we could learn by just watching The Simpsons or The Family Guy.
I know.
It would save so much embarrassment for these poor people.
I've learned never to have a talking dog in my house.
I don't know. That'd be cool. Think about how many times you're sitting there alone, nothing to do. Internet porn's gotten boring.
Well, but he's hitting on your wife, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. If you've met my wife, that wouldn't be such a bad thing. Where are we off to next?
Actually, speaking of dogs, did you hear in Rabbit Hash, Kentucky, it's some little community in Kentucky.
Wait, where?
It's called Rabbit Hash.
Rabbit Hash?
I believe I had
Rabbit
some of that.
Hash.
Yeah, I smoked some of that in high school.
Yeah.
I was still not down.
It gets your one leg just going like crazy.
Good
never.
That explains all my six kids then, doesn't it?
Well, yeah.
All right, go ahead.
I just wanted to throw this in because I read this earlier. This little community, they have, I think this week during the elections, they elected a dog as their mayor of their town.
Awesome. And hey, whose leg do I got to hump around here to get a dry martini? Wow, that's awesome.
We had an election. It was like a cat, a mule, all this, I don't know.
No, the mule never stood a chance.
Poor thing.
He's made an ass out of himself in public for years. Oh, don't give me that look, Tim. Come on, a pun was definitely needed.
I'm hurting now.
So a dog won an elected, and sadly, he's probably going to do better than the last four mayors.
No, the last mayor was a dog also.
Really?
It died. Yeah. And actually, they wrote something about...
It died, or was there somebody in the grassy knoll with a second shooter?
It was sniped.
Yes. Who succeeds that mayor if that one dies?
I don't know. Mr. Mittens the cat.
Next of kin?
Well, the funny thing, they said that, I guess, as it got older, it got stinky and, you know, had some sickness and stuff, and so it was banned from going into the restaurant.
That didn't stop Nixon from being president, being stinky and old.
Well... Well, they banned the dog, and then they actually filed some kind of complaint trying to get the dog access into the restaurants because it was the mayor. So,
yeah, but if those papers would have been filed properly instead of by the chickens and ducks and Mr. Mittens trying to push it through legislation with
all you need is a paw print to ratify it into law.
Mr. Mittens was busted for selling catnip out on the corner of 4th and Vineland. Oh, God. Where are we off to next?
I just wanted to throw this in. I read that Bruce Springsteen posted a free song for download on his website. The song is called A Night with the Jersey Devil. And there's also a video to go along with the song. I just thought I'd throw that in because we just spoke about the Jersey Devil last week. So.
Awesome. Well, maybe we can get that Tim for the show eventually.
Here. So what, human groupies aren't enough now for Bruce? He's got to go with A Night with the Jersey Devil?
Supernatural, man. Well, you're Darkness Radio based on his album, Darkness on the Edge of Town. You know, it only makes sense that he starts to come into our realm now.
He's been in the news a lot with the UFOs.
Yeah, the UFO sightings over his concert. I think we still have that link up. If you go check, I think it was from last week's news stories, Bree talked about the fact that they were doing a rally for the presidential election, and he was doing a concert, and UFOs showed up in the sky. People were actually videotaping him over his concert, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen real carefully, you can hear, Bruce!
Yes, they're big fans over in Venus. All right.
So, do you want me to do another one? Or?
Yeah, that'd be great. You are here to do the new.
Only if you feel like it, Bree.
I don't want to push you, babe.
Pace yourself, dear.
She's trying to get back to the bar real quick here at the Stanley. Really? Another one? God.
This is so hard. God.
Well, this one is back in Stephenville, Texas. More UFO sightings are happening around there. We've done a story on this pretty much every week for the past month.
Right.
There have been so many reported UFOs last week that they actually had an airplane coordinate with spotters on the ground trying to get video footage of it. And there was a man that, you know, they spoke with for an interview with the paper. His name was Ricky Sorrells. And he said he's seen them off and on since January, frequently. And that this last week, they changed. They were a lot bigger than they had been before.
That's because they started getting their rabbit hash from Kentucky.
Right.
It messes with perspective.
So does
that mean, I wonder if they're getting bigger or are they just coming down lower?
I don't know, but I know that the way they described it, it pretty much was the same kind of thing, you know, for months, and now it's changing. And there are a lot of people that saw them this week. They've seen them so much down there. There's a woman named Angelia Joyner, and she used to work as a reporter for the Stephenville Tribune, and she started writing about the UFO phenomena they're having in the paper, and it got so crazy, and she got so involved with it, she left her job with the paper and now travels the United States as a full-time UFO researcher.
Wow.
So that's kind of cool.
It's like the people that, you know, quit their lives and became Grateful Dead fans.
True.
That's crazy. So she's just out following and chasing. Well, you know what? If you could do me a favor, get her name. See if there's a way to contact her, Bree, and let's see if we can have her on the show and see what she's been finding out in the world.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right, we'll put you in charge of that. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back with more national news and talk about some more cool stuff. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. My name is Dave Schrader. I'm your host, Tim Dennis here, my co-host and producer along for the ride. And I want to mention real quickly, we have our next guest who's going to be coming up at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. We have Nancy and Brent from S Spirits paranormal team out in Florida. They're hosting an event at the Seven Sisters Inn in Ocala, Florida. And if you watch Ghost Hunters, you saw that episode where they were at the Seven Sisters Inn having all kinds of cool activity. We're going to be going out there. They have Patrick Burns from Haunting Evidence, Kristen Gartland from Ghost Hunters, just added Rob Demarest from Ghost Hunters International, and yours truly, Darkness Radio Dave. I'll be out there. We're going to have a great time ghost hunting. Two nights of ghost hunting available, so you can come for one night or both. You can get more information by going to sevensistershaunt.com. Spell it out, sevensistershaunt.com. And if you want to actually get rooms at the inn, check out sevensistersinn.com. And again, spell it out, sevensistersinn.com. You can come out and investigate with us. Have a great time. Tickets are very affordable. It's going to be just a blast. We're going to have Nancy and Brent on at the top of the hour talking about the actual ghost stories that they've gotten there. They're going to share some of their EVPs and some of the actual activity that they've collected when they were there. Right now, though, it's time to go back to the phone lines with the lovely and talented Bree Sanders. And Bree, where are we off to next in the United States?
We're going to New Hampshire. This week, a Wiccan teenager in Derry, New Hampshire, made headlines because of intolerance toward her Wiccan practices. Jerika Haynes is a third-generation witch and practices with her mother and grandmother and has always been open at school about it. And her teacher actually asked her to create a presentation for this, they call it, the school has a diversity week. And they've had it for many years. And the diversity week was actually started after racial issues on campus escalated between Latino and Caucasian students. And so the teacher asked her to do this for diversity week. And this year they canceled it because too many parents complained that the presentation was inappropriate and didn't want their kids to attend it. Although, you know, the whole point of Diversity Week is
right.
to expose students to a variety of backgrounds, Wiccan practice just apparently took it too far. So, but Jerika is working with the school so that she can still make her presentation after school, I guess. You know, kids can go on their own time and see it.
Oh, so it's more of like an after-school activity. People can check out the presentation that way?
Right, instead of doing it during school hours, because that way...
Yes, well, we're going to have Tolerance Week as long as it's things that we're tolerant about talking about.
Right. Well, it's so weird, too. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's strange the teacher asked her to do it, and I don't think the teacher would ask her to do anything that would be offensive, but...
Yeah, that's bizarre stuff. All right, where are we off to next?
We're going to talk about this movie, The Return to Babylon. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, actually, we had... his name is Monty... Kanawati,
right.
And he was on our show, I think back about 5-6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's in our archives at darknessradio.com. Check the archives section for Alex Monty Kanawati. But yeah, we showed video. We had some video up on our site for a while, and we had pictures. Go ahead with your story. Then I'll chime in on it as we go.
Okay. Well, the reason this was in the news this week was that I think he premiered the movie in Salem on Halloween night.
Yes.
So for people that don't know, the cast and crew members of this movie were spooked during the filming. And the movie is about crime and premature death in Hollywood.
Right. It's an old it's an homage to the old silent movies. And it's about they recreate some of the weird scandals that took place in the silent movie time era, including the Fatty Arbuckle crime and some of the other mysterious deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex had actually, this is an interesting story. He had been wanting to make a movie and found all of this black and white film stock literally in a bag on the street.
Oh,
and
no.
He picked it up and they started using it. They did Babylon. And then this is Return to Babylon. What's her name? Maria Conchita Alonso
mm-hmm.
is one of the producers on this. And when they started filming it and watching the dailies and the rushes back, they were getting insane anomalies that would pop up in the filming. This creepy looking demonic character that kept showing up. People would suddenly turn into Christ-like looking apparitions. There were things called morphosis, where I know the one picture he's got, the guy's talking, and his hand looks like it's got a big, like a big rubber claw, like a werewolf.
Whoa.
But it's just in between scenes, and it's like every couple of frames this stuff pops up. As a matter of fact, I think if you go to myspace.com, return to Babylon, or myspace.com/returntobabylon, and I think there's his MySpace page there with all the information. Did I steal all your thunder? I'm sorry.
No.
Damn it, Dave. This was my story.
You said. I'm sorry.
Oh, great. You even didn't tune into what I'm talking about. That's great.
Anyway, yeah, it was cool. I actually saw, I think I was on YouTube or something like that.
And right. Yeah. Go check Return to Babylon on YouTube. I'm sure there's a couple links still up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can just type in Return to Babylon, type in like ghosts or strange or whatever after it, and it'll pull it up. But where, you know, there's a clip where he talks about it, and they kind of take you through certain scenes in the movie. And the only ones that I saw on this clip were the Christ-like images. And I guess it kept seeming like beards were forming on everyone. It was really strange.
Right, yeah, there's one scene where I think it's Maria Conchita Alonso. Although, you know, I maintain, I was asking him, when she moves her hair, the hair kind of comes across her face.
Mm-hmm, it does.
And in a freeze frame, it looks like Jesus Christ's beard and she's wearing these white robes. And
oh,
I said,
yeah.
Well, Alex, isn't that just, you know, you know, her hair moving? And he had explained it too, that it, no, it stayed that way in a few of the scenes where it would actually make it look like a beard and the face would morph.
Right.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
It's crazy. And they were creeped out making the movie. Jennifer Tilly is in it.
Right.
And when they started filming, she said that she was, you know, sensing something strange. And she was claiming that there were apparitions and ghosts actually touching her during filming. And they kind of just blew it off a little bit at first.
Well, Jennifer Tilly is kind of a goofball, don't you think? I mean, every movie.
Yeah.
She's always kind of, she's the chick that does the Bride of Chucky voice. And she, I mean, she's sure she's probably a very lovely lady, but she just comes off really.
You know, she's winning all these poker tournaments now.
Is she really?
Yeah, she's
It's because the ghosts are walking around the table telling her what everybody else is holding.
But yeah, and they were filming part of the movie on, who is it, Norma Talmadge? Is that how you pronounce
it? Right, right. Norma Talmadge's story, right?
Talmadge. They were filming on her estate, and people were really creeped out. Jennifer Tilly asked to leave, and I don't know. Everybody was claiming that there was negative energy there. I don't know. So it's weird that that stuff happened, and then they started seeing these things, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. Where are we off to next, Bree?
We are going to the Georgia Aquarium. There is a group, actually Diana Avena's group, investigated this aquarium, and they have this Titanic exhibit right now. And one worker speaks about it, and she's so convinced it's haunted. She says that she believes that it's the lost souls from the Titanic. She reports that when she was near the exhibit, she actually felt a hand move over her head and through her hair. And several people that volunteer at the aquarium also report similar experiences. The aquarium, like I said, just recently brought in Roswell, Georgia Paranormal Investigations to try to figure out what, if anything, was going on. And the investigators actually caught some EVPs, and they saw shadow people, I guess. And they did the whole building, and they said that not only was the Titanic exhibit haunted, but so was another area of the building. And one of the team members is, you know, a sensitive. And he said that there was a Native American man in a hallway behind this area called the Cold Water Quest, where new construction's kind of been going on. And he claimed that the Native American man didn't want his picture taken and kind of ran circles around the group. And they also reported a crew member from the Titanic who wanted to interact and actually touched the sensitive shoulders when prompted, apparently. And I guess they also found another ghost of, I think it was an elderly woman who stays in the first-class cabin that they replicated. So it's kind of cool if anybody lives down there, if you want to go check that out. It sounds kind of cool to me, but...
Again, that's taking place where?
The Georgia Aquarium.
Okay. So people can check it out at the Georgia Aquarium. All right. We've got time for one more short story here before we go to break.
Okay. Let's see. I'll tell you the story that was printed this week. It was about a guy named Teddy Cook, and he works as a tower and gate attendant at Fort Knox Historic Site and Penobscot Narrows Observation Tower. This is in Maine. I know people get confused because you say Fort Knox, instantly think
Kentucky, yeah.
Kentucky. So this is just a story that they printed about him. He works there, and he was frightened by what he thinks was a ghost. It happened as he was closing down the fort after they had this thing called Fright at the Fort for Halloween. And he was in charge of lighting and fog machines and all that stuff. So he was trying to shut down all of those things. And he says he was going up to the officers' quarters when he described it as the back of a leg moving at the end of the hall. So he assumed that it was a straggler from the event. So he called out, you know, saying that the fort had closed and asked the person to follow him out. And it didn't respond to him. He followed the shape of the person up a flight of stairs into what they called Two-Step Alley, which is like a really long hallway, and he saw, you know, the shape still walking away down the hallway, and it even blocked out the light of this red floodlight that was at the end of the hall. And he called out again. It still would not respond to him, and he said that when he saw it, I guess got a closer look, it was just a black figure with no facial features. You know, it made no sound, and it would not acknowledge him when he spoke to it. So by the time, I guess, he looked for his flashlight and he looked up, the figure was gone. And I guess he's terrified now working there. And he claims he was a skeptic before this happened, but they say the...
Yes, all skeptics are just people that haven't had their own experience yet, huh?
It is, yeah. And, I mean, it's a perfect place for a haunting because it's all the granite in there, and it's right by the water, so...
Good deal. Well, we have to take our final break for this hour. Bree, stay with us. We'll be back. We're going to talk a little bit more with Bree Sanders, and then we have Bruce Tango, father of Dave Tango from Ghost Hunters, going to join us. We'll be back with more right after this. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're going to wrap up our news segment here with national news correspondent Bree Sanders. All right, Bree, where are we off to for the last couple of stories?
Well, I wanted to mention this story that I saw this week, and it's not a new story, but they've put this out, and I thought it kind of goes along with, you know, with all the UFO sightings we've had recently. I just kind of wanted to talk about it a little bit.
Sure.
This details an event that took place about 25 years ago in the Hudson Valley in New York, and a lot of people may have heard about this. This event kind of put Hudson Valley on the map as one of the three major UFO vortexes in the world, which the other two being Stonehenge and Sedona, Arizona. So in around, they have a specific story around 1983, hundreds of people in this area in northern Westchester and Putnam were calling police to report a huge but silent lighted ship. The witnesses said they'd never seen anything like it before. And, you know, the Air Force studied about 12,600 UFO reports over, you know, I think it was about 60 years before that, but they had stopped at this point because they said that it was a waste of taxpayers' money and that the sightings didn't seem to be a national security threat. And after this happened, the government turned all these investigations over to private groups. And so there's, you know, this group kind of printed this story. And by the way, the Hudson Valley is where Washington Irving's The Legend of Sleepy Hollow takes place.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and interestingly, in his book, he describes Hudson Valley as, I'll quote him on this, a place where stars shoot and meteors glare more often than any other part of the country. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, no doubt. So even mentioning it way back that far in the book.
Right.
Cool.
And there were at least three different nights in 1983 where hundreds of sightings were called into the police. Actually, one police officer even witnessed the activity in, I think it was March 24th, 1983. His name was Kevin Sorvia, and he said that he saw a silent, massive, delta-shaped lighted ship. And he saw it not once that night, but actually twice. And people started questioning why this was happening, you know, where it was. And there was a science teacher there in the area that came up with one possible reason. I guess there are these stone chambers in the town of Putnam. And he thinks that these chambers were built by European explorers to mark anomalies in the Earth's magnetic field that could possibly open windows into the fourth dimension, basically, as you know, acting as a portal for the supernatural universe into our world. And he co-wrote a book, and it was called Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. It tells stories that, I guess, 340 out of 7,200 sightings from 1982 until 1985, 340 of these were, people claimed they were actual contact cases where people said, you know, at the same time they heard telepathic messages, or they said that they were scanned by light, or had vivid dreams of being abducted, being taken aboard ships, and tested by aliens. Some even claimed that they saw little gray beings with oversized eyes, small mouth, large head, you know, the quintessential.
Was that the thing. Jackson family reunion?
I don't know what's scarier. Anyway, UFO sightings have seemed to, you know, be more culturally accepted these days. And one example that they pointed out was recently the story of the American fighter pilot who was ordered to shoot down the UFO.
Oh, right, from the 40s. Right. Was it like the 40s or 50s?
It was in 1957.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the fact that they would even bring that out now shows how much it's evolving.
Interesting stuff. Well, how about we got one more quick short story here before we move on?
Sure. I want to talk about this. This freaks me out. This is a story. There's a guy named Thomas Horn. He's an author. He wrote a best-selling book called Nephilim Stargates. It's the year, let's see, 2012, and the return of the Watchers. They're doing all these new experiments in genetic engineering, which, you know, like cloning and finding DNA and cloning it. And according to him, and this all, you know, it's objective if you believe in this or not, but he's afraid that the things they're doing now with that could open the doors for the return of these scary giants that are described in the Bible.
Right.
And they're the offspring of human women and fallen angels. And
also known as the Bee Gees.
All right. In the book of Genesis, there are beings that appear. They're called giants. And, you know, some biblical scholars believe that they came into existence after these powerful angels known as watchers came to Earth and used women to spawn these giants. And They had genetic mutations like unusual size, six fingers, six toes, appetites for blood, and even lion-like features.
Who doesn't have that?
And they weren't entirely human or animal. They were a blend of both. And I guess these spirits would inhabit these bodies. And, you know, these were bodies that fallen angels could inhabit instead of, you know, just possessing a human, that they actually wanted their own body. And Thomas Horn is suggesting that biotechnology today may be about to repeat this and provide a pathway for the return of the Nephilim. Today, you know, like I said, biologists are tinkering with combining DNA from separate species.
Right.
And it's happening all over the world. In Australia, they've actually used animal eggs to create hybrid human embryos for stem cells.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, you know, in Britain, they created a hybrid rabbit and human embryo. And they've also mixed...
Is that the Easter Bunny or what?
Hey, that's an idea.
Yeah, no doubt.
Anyway, in the UK and the US, researchers have already managed to reanimate dead human cells, which is a way to replace using...
Oh, God, the zombies are coming, Bree.
I know.
It's not that far off. You watch.
I know. It's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Well, Bree, I got to grab this. We got to go to our next guest. I want to thank you for spending time with us. We're going to have fun ghost hunting this weekend at the Stanley.
I'm so excited.
Good deal. Well, you have a good one. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again next week with brand new stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Next up, ladies and gentlemen, on the line, joining us all the way from New Jersey, we have father of Dave Tango from television's The Ghost Hunters. And this is Bruce Tango. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Doing great, buddy. Thanks for joining us. You guys have something exciting coming up here in a couple of weeks. Why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners about it and how they can get tickets?
Oh, we sure do. First of all, I want to say that I listen to you guys' show all the time as much as I can, and you guys do a great job. I really enjoy it.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity to come on the air and talk about this upcoming benefit for Tourette syndrome. On Sunday, November 30th, we'll be having a dinner and show. Appearing will be the stars from Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Hunters, Jason Hawes, Grant Wilson, Steve Gonzalez, Chris Williams, Kristen Garland, and my son Dave. Also appearing, we have one of the greatest groups of our time. For those older people, we might remember Johnny Maestro and the Brooklyn Bridge. They will be doing about an hour and 15 minutes of the greatest hits. These guys are really fantastic, let me tell you. And we have another guy by the name of Stephen Maglio, who he's going to be doing a tribute to Frank Sinatra. And I tell you, this guy is the closest thing to Sinatra you will ever hear. He's appeared in Vegas and New York, all the top spots, all the big hotels in Vegas and in New York. But that's what we got going. It'll be a dinner and show. The cost of it is $75. Before I go on, I don't know if a lot of people know, because I know you know Dave,
right?
And Timmy does too, but... You know, my son Dave has Tourette syndrome. He was diagnosed as a young boy, and he still struggles to this day. He has a way of hiding it. A lot of people, if you watch the show, you may not see him, you know, tick and everything. But there's a lot that goes with Tourette syndrome that people don't realize. He's had a rough time of it, but he enjoys being on Ghost Hunters, and he told me to tell you guys thank you very much for the opportunity to tell people about this event. Like I said, the amount is $75. Anybody that would like to get tickets, they can contact me direct, area code 908-256-4890. Or for tickets online, they could go to Ideal Event Management, www.idealeventmanage.com, all one word. So there's the two ways of doing it. And I want to thank you, Tim, for the continued support.
Oh, definitely, Bruce. We're more than happy to help. Now, can they also reach out to you guys to just make donations for our listeners all across the United States that want to help the Tourette Syndrome Society and be able to make donations directly?
Yes, what they could do is if they want to write a check, they could write a check, make it out to the Tourette, T-O-U-R-E-T-T-E, Syndrome Benefit Committee, and you could mail it to 752 East Broad Street. That's in Westfield, New Jersey, Westfield, New Jersey, 07090.
Great. Well, Bruce, we thank you very much. Keep up with the great work, and tell Dave our thoughts are with him.
Thank you very much, Dave. You and Timmy do a great job. Like I said, your continued support is Much appreciated.
Well, thank you, sir. And thank you all for tuning in this evening. We're going to be back with more. You're listening to Darkness Radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.